In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." You may remember that was the last line from last week's gospel. And so that line sort of forms a bridge between last week's gospel reading and this week's gospel reading. And if you remember the people who Jesus was talking to, it was the crowd after the day after the feeding of the 5,000, when they were asking him to feed them. And Jesus was saying to them, "But you're only coming to me because you want physical bread. You don't quite understand." So as this gospel reading for today starts off, Jesus reminds us, I guess, that he is the bread of life. But those that were surrounding him at that time were complaining. And he says to them, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." Now, from our perspective, we know that Jesus came down from heaven. But for those that were with him at the time, they were having trouble understanding what that meant. And the crowd were very sceptical, for they were saying, "But aren't you the son of Joseph? Aren't you human?" And of course, Jesus was human, but he was also divine. The bread that Jesus was comparing himself to was more than just the physical bread that we might desire. Certainly for me, I like a good slashing of bread and honey, and it feeds me. But Jesus was talking about more than that, of course. And Jesus was encouraging them not to complain, because if they believed, they would be drawn to him through the Father. And we know that to be drawn means that we have to be open to that that is drawing us. If we are closed off, then there is no way we can ever be drawn in. There's a barrier between us and that which is drawing us. And Jesus tells those that are following him to not worry. Just be open. Be curious, and the Father will draw you to me and will draw you into the knowledge of who I am. We have to be open and we have to be curious, because in doing that we start on the journey towards understanding Jesus in more depth and being more open to being taught the ways that he was teaching us. He goes on to say, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God." To be open for us is to be open to teaching, and to be open to the teaching of Jesus. And the teaching that Jesus is giving us is the nourishment for life, and that is the bread. The metaphor of bread and drink is the metaphor for teaching and healing for us. Of course, when we talk of life, Jesus being the bread of life, we also can talk of death. It seems to be the opposite, life and death. And I was wondering whether there is a bread of death. What's the opposite of the bread of life? For the bread of death is something that takes us away from the living God. Those things in our lives that distract us, that close us off, that make us less curious, maybe skeptical, as these followers of Jesus were. The bread of death, I'm sure, comes in different layers. As I talked last week about cravings and about those they're not really superficial, they're the cravings that we have in our lives, the cravings for sugar and caffeine and those sort of cravings for pleasure that immediately satisfy us. But then I think there's cravings that go much deeper in our lives. The bread of death. Destruction. What are those things in our lives that lead us towards destruction? What are those things that take us away from living a life of joy and happiness? Gil Bailey, who's a theological commentator that I often read, coined the phrase famished craving. And famished craving is where the hunger that is a part of the craving experience can never be satisfied. We hunger, we chase after those things that we think are nurturing us and nourishing us, but they're not. And all it leads to is exhaustion and a feeling of helplessness and a feeling of hopelessness. If we go a deeper level, we get to those cravings that are very, very destructive. The cravings of revenge, the cravings of castigating the other, outlawing the other, not accepting who people are. The cravings of racism and slavery in all of its forms, economic slavery, sexual slavery, physical slavery, in all of its forms are dark and destructive things. And they all lead to a destructive life, to a dark life, and a life far away from the living God. But if we put ourselves into the position of some of those people, we might find that they believe that they are acting from a just position. Even these people that are in the news at the moment, and as we remember the 1-year anniversary from Charlottesville, those nationalists and those that are, we might call, the far right of the political spectrum. If we talk to them and sat with them, we might come to understand that they actually believe that they're doing something just, even though it's significantly painful for most of the people that don't agree with them. People like Alex Jones, a radio commentator, who just spreads rumours and outright lies, conspiracy theories, to feed his own, for me anyway, I believe, it feeds his own sense of purpose and his own sense of meaning. He's trying to carve out for himself a place in the political life of this country. And of course, he's not the only one. There is many of them, and they're all over the world in all sorts of different cultures. But those people that follow, that are nurtured by that sort of divisive and destructive rhetoric, lead still to, I think, a meaningless life. They are the ones they chase after nourishment more and more, become more and more ingrained in the sense of hating everyone. I mean, hate is a very bodily experience, and that hate comes out in violence, of course, as we all know. Famished cravings, those that are unable to be satisfied. If we turn to our Old Testament reading this morning from 1 Kings, we get a snippet of this part of Elijah's life, where he has just come from an experience where he thought he was acting justly, but where he came to regret it and flee to the wilderness. Elijah was in the day of King Ahab and Jezebel, and Jezebel had been trying to introduce the god of Baal into the community as their own living god. And if you know this section beforehand, Elijah is the prophet that is trying to convince the people that the god of Baal is not a true and living god. And he sets up this test. He sort of mocks them, mocks the prophets who are believing that the god of Baal is someone who is to be trusted and someone who is real and present to them. And he asks them to set up an altar and put timber on it and put the meat on the altar. And he asks them to call down their god to light the fires under the meat. and they dance around and they sing and yell and they cut themselves, all in trying to bring their gods down, but nothing happens. And Elijah mocks them for what they do. But then he resets the altar and covers it with wood and with meat and then douses it in water and calls on the living God to send fire onto the altar. And of course, the fire comes down and consumes everything on the altar. And the prophets of Baal are proven false. But then what Elijah does is he takes them out into the valley, or drives them out into the valley, and he slaughters them all. Violent reaction to what is simply a people that don't agree with him, people are trying to do other things. And then we pick up this morning where he'd gone into the wilderness with a heart full of regret, saying he's no better than his ancestors, just following in what sort of he knew to do, but regretted it immediately, and took himself out into the wilderness to find the only tree in that vast and rocky, dry outcrop that is Israel. And he sits down under the tree and laments what he's done and wishes that he could just die. Now, there might be times in your life, there is times in my life where I think the pain of something that's happened is just so great that it's almost too hard to bear and too much to get over, and we'd like it just to end. And Elijah is feeling that desperate situation. But then he falls asleep and he's woken by an angel who brings him bread and water. And he gets up and he eats, but then falls back asleep again. And he's woken again and he gets up and eats and drinks. And he knew that he was needing to go a journey further to Horeb, to the Mount Horeb where Moses and others had experienced God. And so he was awoke. He came out of his crisis, out of his lament, and he continued on for 40 days and 40 nights to the Mount of Horeb. And if you read the little bit of this passage that comes after this reading this morning, it's where Elijah encounters God on the mountain, and not in the violence of wind and fire and earthquake. He encounters God in the sheer silence. What a place to be, just to be silent with God. It's why we encourage so much silence in our own spiritual lives. The busyness crowds God out, but the silence allows God in. And Elijah eventually finds that place. He frees himself from the bread of death, if you like. He doesn't dwell in the violence that he's created. He moves on. He's open to God's call, and he moves forward in life. It's a great lesson for us, I think, that there's always, if we are open and we are curious about God, there is always a call forward. God is always drawing us forward. This is creation. We're always moving forward, if only we are open to that. The readings from the epistles from Ephesians over these last few weeks, I think, is a great counter to what we've been reading in the Gospel and in the Old Testament reading. There's this interesting dichotomy between the bread of life and the bread of death, and what Paul says to the Ephesians. And he encourages them to give up on their evil ways, to be honest and to work, and to work for to have something to share with the needy, not just to be selfish. To work and build up the community and to build up one's family. To put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander. Put away all malice and simply be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted, forgiving of one another, as God in Christ has forgiven us. Live in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Amen.